I'm faking it because this is a weird time of day and it's my fault.
Yeah.
And so I'm responsible for bringing the energy, you guys, because I forced this upon us. This is a brunch edition of Yoast's Racist.
I just had to turn down my mic because I spiked it even with my oh boy. So apologies in advance to anyone who got their ears blown out. I don't know what's happening right now.
Doesn't it, the problem.
Doesn't it feel good that we can finally go back to brunch?
No, God. Matt's back and he's already canceled.
I'm back, baby.
Is Matt, it canceled? I guess Matt. Not canceled. Matt's back and taking shots.
Matt's back and trying to get canceled.
Please,
this is a very special, we're recording earlier than usual, both in date and in time. Mm-hmm. Andrew's already been podcasting for about an hour and a half already.
Insanity.
Y'all just having your coffees. You have no idea what my life is like.
Mm-mm. Matt's coffee is in a nondescript white mug like he is in a stock photo.
Well, actually, if you turn the mug the other way, it's a Norm's Diner mug. It has a picture of Norm's.
Oh.
Hell yeah.
And Norm's, never done me wrong. Love Norm's. Shout out to Norm's.
I've never been to a Norm's. Norm's is that LA only or California only?
I'm not sure, but the one in my hometown in the one that I used to go to a lot in Downey, California, they don't have locks on the doors because it's open 24 hours a day. And one time they had to shut down because of like plumbing, and they didn't have a way to like batten down the hatches, so they had a guy sitting out front, like in shifts, like hey, you can't go in; it's closed.
Oh. That, I guess, makes sense.
Yeah.
That really puts you get cocky about your, we're open 24 hours. Why have a lock on the door policy?
Yeah.
But yeah, there
you're going to need it one time.
Just because you're open doesn't mean you can foresee everything that could ever happen.
Right. But
you
reliable
may
place.
Watch a lock it.
Reliable place to get like hash browns and eggs. Like nothing. Or if you're like 90 years old, you can go get like a very, like, soft steak.
Yeah,
if you want.
Yeah, it's a diner. Did we say that up top?
Steak.
It's a diner.
Yeah, it's a diner. So they have like every kind of any kind of food you could want at a diner. You know, a turkey dinner.
It's like a Denny's. Oh, I do. Yeah. I do love when people are just like, "I'll have Thanksgiving, please."
Yeah.
And then your friend with you is like, I'll have huevos rancheros. And somebody else is like, just a black coffee and two waffles, please.
Yeah. They have something. That's why I love I love Norm's, because they truly have something for everyone. It's wonderful.
Well, shout out to Norm's. Hope we get a sponsorship.
Shawnee, you're drinking coffee out of a jar?
Oh, yeah.
A jar of coffee.
I'm living my true Pinterest life. It's a little warmer here on the mountain than it has been, so I was like, let me do a summertime iced coffee. So I did a little iced coffee with a little oat milk, put it in a mason jar, shook it, made me feel like I was making a cocktail in the morning.
So it's about, of the jar, I would say it's about maybe a third full at this point. How much did you fill it up? Did you fill it up all the way, or you drinking like half
standard,
a jar?
This is a standard 4-cup mason jar that I use for everything. Broth, cocktails, tomato sauce, canning, whatever.
Uh-huh.
I have about 400 of these because I am that Pinterest white woman. I am responsible for the shortage in the United States. I'm so sorry, but I did it before the pandemic, so I was annoying before. This started as about 2 cups of iced coffee with another half a cup of oat milk.
Okay.
So it was about up to here. And now I'm down. I'm working through it.
Okay.
It's a respectable size drinking vessel. So hats off. That's great.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. I hope I don't vibrate out of my skin. This is the show, Yo, Is This Racist, where we talk about your racism voicemails with the help of a special guest or Matt. And I'm Tawny Newsome. Wait, that's Andrew T.
I mean, we should refer to Matt as an unspecial guest.
I would really appreciate that, actually. No bells, no whistles.
He's just, Yeah, he's just a guest that's always he's the
it would take the pressure off of me. It would feel I would feel like, oh, phew.
Yeah, it's a very normal episode with Matt.
Yes, uh-huh. Here's our normal guest.
Yep. Yeah, if anyone's new to the pod, we've had a few new listeners lately, which, I mean, hi and weird. If anyone's new to the pod, Matt is our former producer turned friend.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. The real producing are the friendships you make along the way.
Mm-hmm. And that's true. Mm-hmm.
And now he is here in a completely unofficial, unlegal, and unpaid capacity.
Yeah, just a friend who was like, you know what? What am I doing at 9:30? Nothing. Let's talk about racist with my friends.
Your coffee's not even done. And it's like, I guess it's racism o'clock.
Let's do
it. As it always is in America.
Yes, the clock is always at racist.
Starting off the show with news. We were talking beforehand. Actually, I'm going to call an audible in the middle of this because I do remember one other racism thing that is a fun racism thing.
Ooh, I love those.
I feel like the racism news was just some amount of consequences for all the racists that tried to most visibly overthrow our government.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I don't know. The racism that's baked in is all these Nazis are getting a lot less, a lot less violence was done upon them by the police. A lot more leniency is being shown to them by the fucking one guy that had like a bunch of guns and shit has just been released. He's just
Wesley
out and about.
Bieber. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's like, yeah, the racism is all over the place. Obviously, if these people were black, there wouldn't even be a judge to talk to them because they would be long dead many times over. But is there anything new there really on that story?
Well, just that, I mean, now that we're learning, of course, surprise, surprise, that there were a bunch of undercover cops. I'm sorry, not undercover cops because they were not there in an official cop capacity, but there were just people who are employed by
off-duty.
The citizens of this country as cops off duty attending the riots on the Capitol. You know, as fans.
As perpetrators, overcover cops, we'll call them.
Yeah.
And they're working for the others. It's like if The Departed was The Departed, except for when they were committing crimes, they were just, I'm a cop also. I will say that was the one that was a remake of a Hong Kong movie, and this is how racist Hollywood is. When it won an Oscar, the voiceover on the broadcast was like reading from the Wikipedia page, which was not verified or researched, and they called it based off of the Japanese movie Infernal Affairs, which is a little nuts that I'm like, you couldn't just look at the original movie. The original movie is much better than the Scorsese movie, obviously, but whatever.
Holy that is all. Moly.
But it was truly, I like jumped out of my skin when they were like, based off of the Japanese film Infernal Affairs. And I was like, what the fuck is happening here?
How maddening. Yeah. Now, did Twitter exist then? And did everyone get mad online? I don't remember when that movie
I think
came out.
Like Twitter existed. No one got mad online because it wasn't like a big enough thing. I think there wasn't enough Twitter around, I believe, if I recall. Like I have set my tweets to all be deleted after 3 or 4 months, or I can't remember the time period, so I can't go look, but I'm 80% sure I tweeted the fucker. I think this is just a guess based on knowing my voice and sort of reliving the experience just now. I think I just tweeted the fuck do they mean Japanese? Yeah, that was when I didn't really like put together, this is not how you participate in a culture. But that was my reaction.
I mean, in some ways, that is how you participate. And I support it.
Yeah.
But now it's like I put like a little link or like it's clear what I'm talking about typically.
I do have like friends who like the only people that like follow them are like our friends and stuff. And so they'll tweet stuff.
Yeah.
Like it's just very like they're talking to us, and so it'll be like people talking about like the news or whatever, and then I'll just see something like, oh, my nephews are doing this, and I'm like, who are you talking to? Like, it's very sweet.
there's a real fucked up weird thing about like when you cross a certain threshold of followers that you have to be like, what? I was like, if I just want to talk to you guys about like duck shit or whatever, and like listeners of the podcast know what I'm talking about. It is very, I have to shut down the replies because then all the other random people who follow me for other random shit are either trying to jump in and I'm like, this isn't for you, but I don't know how to
keep the that new, separate. It's, the new like Twitter features where you can sort of limit who can respond. I love that. And I love me and Zig and I have hidden, we've like muted replies from people we don't know. So like, we don't see anything anymore. And it's great. It's a, it's
I
a new, oh, Andrew, you have to.
You simply must. Andrew,
it's still there.
Andrew, you, know, you live for the, the strife.
So if I may, the counterpoint is, I think by not muting, auto-muting people I don't follow, that's where the block fodder comes in. This is how I know who to block. If I didn't let people say stupid shit to me, who would I know how to block besides racists and corporations?
Yeah.
That's true. And if you didn't have multiple people to block, how would we have enough people willing to pay us to get you to unblock them?
I don't.
So right now the ratio seems to be you've blocked 20,000 people. We've gotten two people to pay us to have you unblock them.
So I got to block another 10K to get that. Yeah, speaking of, we are an independent podcast. Go to suboptimalpods.com to find out how you can support us. There's all kinds of premium shows. And one, I think, very hilarious extra premium tier where I will unblock you on Twitter because I block everybody. Speaking of, two things. One is I do like that part of Twitter where it is like just the group chat. And it's like, guys, you could, I mean, surely you could simply text everyone or start an email chain. It doesn't matter. But the other thing that happened that is kind of the fun racism news that I was going to throw out, which is like, did you guys see, sea shanties going viral on Twitter?
Oh, yes.
Excuse me?
That's our... Tawny has been busy this week, and it only just occurs to me now that something that is potentially extremely Tawny's shit has gone viral. I came to it late, but I assume it was starting by white people on TikTok, but it's sort of like this a cappella kid vibe of people singing, lip syncing sometimes, but singing along other times or doing their own renditions of some sea shanty, the chorus of which goes, someone comes, I can't remember who they're singing about, the blah, 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 da, 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 comes to bring us tea and sugar and rum. And then it goes off about whaling or something, but like, and then, so I saw it because I saw Black TikTok got a hold of it, and the narrative on the one I saw was this guy that was skeptical about his friends singing a sea shanty, and then by the end they're both in the car just belting out,
like losing their minds.
They're so fun to sing.
It's
a sea shanty's all hook. I mean, you know, it's all hook. That's the whole thing, is that they're just like, we're bored, we're drunk, we're on this boat, half of us have fucking dysentery or whatever the fuck, none of us have enough potassium in our bodies, let's just let's scream about our conditions. I'm in a band with a Welshman, and so I've sung probably more of these in earnest than any other Black American person. But my tiny tidbit of like music nerdery is that a lot of those sea shanties were look, this is a wild claim and like music historians don't come after me, but like the casual way to say this or the unresearched way is that a lot of them were written by Black people and have roots with a lot of those Black sailors because the Black people were on the boats just like the white people were, I mean, as slaves, but they were like, you know, working on the boats.
Yeah.
And then they would dock in towns like Newport, where my bandmate John is from, and they would, you know, it was about the mixture of them like being together. So a lot of those sea shanties are fucking bops because Black people wrote them. And they were about kind of white shit. And we all know the best recipe for going viral, whether it was the 1600s or now, is for Black people to write your shit, but about things that white people can relate to.
I mean, sea my shanties. Twitter hot take on it was this specific one. the chorus of tea and sugar and rum is like, that's just the triangle trade. That's so I in fact did another like ampersand just in the comments or in the tweet, but it was like the chorus is tea and sugar and rum and people is how all those things connect. Are all the commodities that come together.
That's why the sea shanty has more crossover potential than the Negro spiritual, because the Negro spiritual kept it too real and would say, like, they sold us. Whereas the sea shanty's like, look at these products, da 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 da.
And you hear it and you're like, hey, I like products. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't think about where they come from.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Guys, as we're talking, I am going to come up with another Audible that we did not discuss before. I'm sorry. Okay. I could have. Mentally,
I literally asked before we started.
I know. I'm sorry. I forgot. It was only as we're talking. This is on me.
Do you have a problem with your book on tape subscription? Is that why you're calling so many Audibles? Good grief,
Matt. Get out of
Matt,
here.
You're the best. No, Andrew Yang is running for mayor of New York, and he fucking sucks. That's all. That is all I have to say.
It's funny that he's doing so much worse. Like, I didn't think he could be a bigger stupid idiot, and then now he's like, he can't even hold a banana. This man can't grab a banana.
I mean, to me, it continues to be like the fact that Democrats in general, white Democrats, hold this man up as like the best Asian American leader is now racist.
Yes.
I'm just like, this motherfucker is so dumb. I just hate him so much. And also, the reason he's famous is because he makes, or acceptable to white political people, is because he makes racists feel good about themselves. He's always like, oh, we got to reach out to racists. I don't know. My too spicy hot take that I'm not actually even sure if Bowen was annoyed that I tweeted it, but I was like, every time I see Andrew Yang, I'm like, remember when his big hot take was that fucking racist Shane Gillis should be on SNL? And it's like, you know, I'm like, oh, you think this is humanity, but like forcing a person of color to work with a racist is fucking a type of white supremacy. I don't know. That's why I hate Andrew Yang. Who knows? Nope, I maybe shouldn't have tweeted that, but whatever. That's all.
Andrew,
I'm sorry. I'm...
If you're looking over things you shouldn't have tweeted, it's... No, I'm just
It'll playing. Be gone in 3 to 4 months, like you said, so it's okay.
You have
Ooh,
a strong
boy.
Voice,
I
Andrew.
Love it. I love it. I have a voice. It's generally bad. I don't know. But yeah, racism
Well,
news.
We were going to talk about
the
minimum wage proposed.
Yeah.
Raise.
Should we do that on the other side of the break? We'll make slightly less of the minimum wage per minute we put into this, and then when we come back, we'll talk about that. And we're back. All right.
Fantastic.
Normally we would do voicemails here, but we're still talking about the $15 minimum wage. I don't know how serious of a proposal it is, but it's on the table once again. And I just noted it because it was a phenomenon that Tani had given a name for. I called it Rise and Grind Twitter. And then you called it LLC Twitter. I guess to me a little bit, Rise and Grind Twitter isn't... LLC Twitter is the black part of Rise and Grind Twitter.
Oh, sure.
And Rise and Grind Twitter, I think, has more white people in it. That's my extremely possibly incorrect take on what to name those things.
I see the delineation, and I bet they I bet they're a bit gerrymandered in and around each other for sure.
Yeah.
The lines between those
anyway,
two.
I don't know. I didn't have anyone specific. I did see a bunch of black conservatives tweeting about how you can't have a $15 minimum wage because then people who work at McDonald's will make the same as teachers. That seemed to be the broad version of this.
And the obvious retort to that, which everyone is making very expertly on Twitter in very multiple funny ways, is like, well, then be mad at the people who don't pay teachers more. Don't be mad at the people flipping burgers who, you know, whatever. So that's the obvious take, right? And it's also like, if you dig a little deeper into that, it comes from the whole shit that capitalism is built on, which is I got here by stepping on other people, intentionally or not, overtly or not, and if they make the same as me, then that means I don't count. I don't exist. I should be better than them. And if I'm not anymore, why did I do all this to get here? And it just exposes the fact that we only exist to make more money than other people, as opposed to we're trying to make the money that we need to survive. And who cares what the person next to you makes? So yeah, there was a lot of the one tweet that this guy keeps getting lit up, so I'm gonna leave his handle out of it. But the guy who was like, yeah, I don't want the people flipping burgers to make what I make at Amazon packing boxes because I'm skilled labor and they're not, or whatever. Go ahead, Matt.
I was gonna say the thing about people look down at people who flip burgers because they don't make a lot of money. That's the only reason that people, that's even like a thing that people say. If it made a lot of money, if people made like a living wage flipping burgers.
Yes.
I'd be flipping burgers. We'd all be doing it.
We'd be looking down at teachers. Imagine if teachers made $15 an hour and people at McDonald's made $30, and people were like, man, I'm trying to quit this teaching gig. I'm trying to get to McDonald's.
Yes.
Like, it would be a coveted position. It's all status and bullshit.
We should look down on teachers, by the way. Obviously, teachers overpaid.
Many teachers listen to this show. We did a listener survey, and it's like, by far the largest swath of you are educators. You are in social work. You are better people than us. I just wanted to name a few things that you can get in America currently for $15. This is me calling a little audible.
Hell yeah.
So here's just a couple things that I just discovered that you can get for $15. You can get a tea infuser. Like, you can put loose leaf tea inside a tea infuser. The one I saw was a little like Loch Ness monster. So, you know, on your one day off a week from your $15 an hour job, you can think about how you worked for one full hour. Think about whatever you do at your job. Think about 1 hour of that labor will allow you to have roughly one cup of tea in a whimsical fashion. You can get a little wireless charging pad for your phone. So in case you're too exhausted from your minimum wage job to take a cord and plug in your $1,000 phone that was made for $1.50 by people paid way less than $15 an hour, you can set your phone down. And you need that phone charged because you have to check in with your shift manager for that week to know exactly when you need to be back at your bone-crushing $15 an hour job. You can get two cheap makeup bags or one slightly less cheap makeup bag. So if you are a person who wears makeup, you're probably required to at your shit job. So that I was told once, I was a waitress, and I was told if I didn't wear makeup, I didn't look friendly. And I was like, I don't know what to tell you, but the makeup isn't going to change that. So if you work one of those terrible jobs where you're required to wear makeup.
They were suggesting you paint a smile on your face using presumably lipstick, sort of a la Heath Ledger's Joker style. So you always look friendly.
I should have the done makeup, that.
The makeup is what makes you look friendly.
Sure, that makes sense. Well, I'll think about that next time. You could get one of those over-the-shoulder laundry bags. That's about $13. And that laundry bag is so that you could take your laundry to the laundromat, because you damn sure can't afford to live in a place with laundry in unit because you work for $15 an hour.
Yes.
And then you'll have $2 left over to do approximately one half of a load of laundry if you get it in quarters. You can also get a different, more complicated tea infuser. Sorry, go ahead, Andrew.
Oh, no. You should finish. I also looked up a number. So you should finish the complicated tea infuser. More than $15?
No, it's only $14, but it's more complicated and it's a little fancier.
Yeah.
So that on your 1 week of vacation per year, if you didn't use it for some kind of like illness that you maybe have or caring for a family member, you can really sit back and enjoy your tea in a fancier way. The last thing, I think this is probably the best one. You can get a pack of disposable face masks, which you probably definitely have to wear because you're probably an essential worker going to your $15 an hour job.
I mean, you are an essential worker. Yeah. It's almost by definition.
Sure.
If you're being paid minimum wage, it is because you are essential.
You're on the front lines.
Fuck. fucked up is that?
So just think about whatever you do for a living. Just think about the effort and exhaustion and you know, whatever you do. Just think about a full hour of you working. And I'm not talking about you, like, you know, between meetings doing bullshit. Like, an hour of work for you. And think about how much your time feels like it's worth.
That's this is the version I did, because someone posted this on Twitter yesterday, is, did you know that Jeff Bezos, this led 2020, his hourly wage, so, you know, $15 is the minimum you can make. Jeff Bezos made $4,475,885 an hour. And that is not actually including hours he worked. That also includes some hours he was breathing, some hours where he was asleep. Every second he was taking a dookie, he was getting $4,475,885 per hour. So then I did a little math. So Jeff Bezos makes $298,392.333 times the minimum wage.
So per hour that man makes, every moment of his life, per hour he makes a Hollywood mansion. Like a fucking Malibu Hills mansion.
He might need a two hour shift to get the real good mansion.
He might
need to work a quarter of a day to get the dope mansion.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not talking helipad. So, I'm just saying, like, 4,000 square feet, media room on the lower level, you know.
Pool, but no jacuzzi.
I mean, you know, as far as that goes, it's like, and especially all these people defending or attacking people who make the minimum wage or attacking the concept of raising the minimum wage, it's like, you know, the thing I put on Twitter, which is like, you people are doing a fucking unpaid internship licking Jeff Bezos's boots, and you want to tell other people how to make money? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you people?
So whack.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Well, shall we listen to a voicemail?
Yeah.
I think we've said all we can about this trash.
Hi, Andrew, Tani, and producer Yusung. I'm an Asian American and love the show. I've been watching the Netflix show Bridgerton with producer Shonda Rhimes, and I noticed there is sort of colorblind casting. There's leads of color. I mean, there's like black and white actors, but I noticed the way Asian Americans are portrayed on the show is very minor, like they're in the background, but they don't actually have any lines. And I just find it a little bit offensive because it kind of reinforces a stereotype that Asian Americans are quiet, that we don't speak up. And if you're going to say your show is colorblind, I feel like you should more fully integrate other people. I mean, it's great that we have interracial love on TV, and like black and white casting for a period piece is huge, but the Asian Americans or the Asian characters are treated like background characters who never talk. So anyway, I think this is racist, but I was just wondering if you could address, like, why is this still okay in 2020? And, yeah, I know Andrew writes for TV, so if you could address it from that standpoint, would appreciate it. Thank you. Love the show. Bye.
Ooh, I love directions in the call. Like, here's how I want y'all to talk
about
it. I really do like it. It's, like, it's very thoughtful.
Oh, interesting. I hate it.
I like it from this person. I'm not telling anybody to do it.
I was having trouble with this, because this is going to be definitely a question that the Asian people are going to be like, there goes Andrew, another fucking sellout, selling out once again. The thing that jumped out at me is, like, I feel like this is a little bit pervasive among Asians in Hollywood, that, like, it's like, yes, of course, we are underrepresented. I do feel like we take shots at black people on that equation more than we should, by a lot. Because I'm like, yeah, okay, not ideal. And it's like, yes, maybe we hold Shonda Rhimes or like any given Black creator to a higher standard because you'd hope that they would see the value in diversity and representation more. However, it's like, okay, I don't understand why like Bridgerton more than fucking Downton Abbey.
Well, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's the door only open a crack problem where when we've taken, so if you haven't seen Bridgerton, personally, I love it. I think it's great. It's on Netflix. It's been called Jane Austen with black people. And mm-hmm. I just want a small correction. It is not colorblind casting. I think it would be more like color conscious casting or inclusive casting where it's not just like anyone can be everything. Race is addressed. It's not at all the central theme of it. It doesn't become like, these black people were slaves, but now they're lords and ladies. Like it's mm-hmm. it's quickly addressed as to why the this alternate past England is blended the way it is, but mm-hmm. it only really only for black and white people. There aren't mm-hmm. really a lot of other races in this equation. But I would say that it's because when you see something like this, that's like, hey, we're gonna do Jane Austen, we're gonna do this time that's been traditionally so white, and we're gonna shake it up and put black people in it, then other people who are unrepresented go, well, why aren't we in there too? Whereas if something's mm-hmm. just entirely white, which is why a lot of times they just leave shit entirely white, because then less of us yell at them, frankly, because then we mm-hmm. feel like, well, they don't want us in here anyway, but I guess I'm gonna watch Game of Thrones because it's the biggest shit, whatever. But like, you know, mm-hmm. it's the willingness. It's the same reason why people on Twitter are gonna yell at you and me about some shit we say, but they're not gonna yell at Jerry Seinfeld, you know, they're not going to yell at some white comedian who has not demonstrated wanting to care about these issues. I'm not even coming for Jerry. I'm just saying, like, a comedian who hasn't said, like, hey, I care about this stuff.
What's the deal with the minimum wage?
Oh, God. Matt, your problematic Jerry impression is going to get us all canceled.
right. I think that's it. It's by, like, demonstrating you give any kind of shit about equality instead of actively not giving a shit, you become a target for it. It's like, why can't you be everything? Right. I mean, I think that's a little bit, like, to the caller, it's like, expecting Shonda Rhimes to be everything,
for sure,
is one of the problems too.
Whereas I think if you look at her body of work, while it's by no means perfect, I think she's done some of the most inclusive casting, on TV, certainly on network TV ever. Like mm-hmm. she's done a great job of that, and I'm not even like a huge Shonda stan, but I just know I feel a relative safety if I turn on mm-hmm. something she's been involved with, that she's got an eye on it. So mm-hmm. I feel like for this show, this might be a case of like, well, let's see what happens season two.
Yeah. But even if not, it's like still just like, this shot in particular feels like wrongfully placed. I think I first noticed this phenomenon watching the Spike Lee movie Inside Man, which is, you know, like stars Clive Owen. It's like one of his whiter movies, but it's still like more diverse in like background and just like, you know, minor roles and like across the board than like a similar like Clive Owen heist movie by a white director. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you know, like especially like it's there. There is more diversity. I mean, the fact is like it's maybe nice that you can complain that, oh, there's only Asian actors in the background or there's very little speaking roles. But again, like fucking Downton Abbey mm-hmm. is like not even that. So like, I don't know. It's a little troublesome because I feel like this is an area where like Asian people really, this is like the one place that like they kind of have a leg to stand on to take, I guess, a shot at black people. But it's, you know, first of all, that's not how society works, right? Like, and like using this kind of like one area where it's like, yes, black people have relatively more proportional representation in Hollywood than Asian people. Like, mm-hmm. but using that as a reason to take a shot at black people, black culture, black creators is misplaced. And I think severely misplaced. And then there's all the rest of the anti-blackness in the Asian community that's like, like, you know, this is like exacerbates all of that. I feel like, I don't know. It really, yeah, I really hate that about, I mean, Hollywood, but about the Asian discussion in general, that when it goes there, it's like, oh, I don't know.
Well, it all comes back to, we are all on the same side. We all want greater representation so that we're not fighting over scraps, or so we're not going, hey, you got crazy rich Asians? How come there's no crazy brown Asians? Like, we need we need to remember what our common, like, kind of goal is, and that's just equality and, you know, fair representation for multiple peoples.
Yeah. Or just no white people. You know? It could be anything. You can frame it any kind of way.
Now, we do have to ring a bell every time someone proposes getting rid of the white race on this show. It is not an endorsement of that idea, but it is. It's just things we're tallying just for, sponsored purposes.
just ship it off to the FBI probably. They still care way more about people. You know, they don't care enough about white supremacy. All right. Should we do another voice mail?
Is it depressing?
I don't remember.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Thank you for voicing all the complaints and remarks I have about white people but never say. Anyways, I'm Pakistani, and I lived in the Bronx my entire life up until this year. I moved to the UK for work, and I was recently called the P-word, a.k.a. a Paki, which is a derogatory term for Pakistanis in the UK. I grew up in the U.S., so I wasn't really offended. I'd been called much worse, and I really had never, ever heard that word being used as, like, a slur before. I always thought it was just a shortened version of my ethnicity. But here in the U.K., it's apparently, like, the slur for South Asians. And I know I'm supposed to be offended, but also I'm not. I feel like, on one hand, I'm kind of just talking myself out of being mad by saying that the word doesn't mean anything to me as an American. But at the same time, shouldn't it mean something to me? I don't know. I'd love to know you guys' thoughts. Anyway, thank you. Hope this is short enough for y'all.
Ooh, way to go. Yeah. I love the call that's like asking for us to tell them whether or not to be mad.
I mean, it's fair, right? I don't have an answer to this other than, like, I guess it's like most things. It kind of, there's wrong ways to do it on both sides of things. Like, there's no need to make yourself mad about something that doesn't make you mad.
Yeah.
But there's no need to accept shit simply because it doesn't make you personally mad.
I think that's it right there.
I think, yeah, also, I think you nailed it.
Oh, yeah, go ahead, Matt.
No, I mean, it's tough because, like, I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to say anything new or fresh here, but, like, if you're upset about it, that's okay. And if you're not, hey, you know what? Keep living. Keep on, you know?
That's really nice.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That's not new, but it's you know? You brought a different vibe, and I like it.
Matt really is the embodiment of the keep on trucking dude, in a way. It's just like, just let's go, baby.
Yeah, like, hey, come on. I don't look, we only got so many pit stops. Like,
yeah, it's all good. God.
But I do like Matt on Twitter lately, who's just like, all you fucking racists can fucking eat shit, fuck you and die. Like,
yeah, right. I save it for a counter
to your normal vibe.
And I save that for when I'm just I mean, look, it's 10:19 as of press time. Okay, I haven't been awake long enough to be mad. Matt, I just ate a pancake, you know.
Ooh,
Matt, your perpetual energy on this show is I just ate a pancake. Like, it's always nice moment.
I'm always filled with pancakes.
What kind of pancake are we talking about here?
You know what? It was a gluten free pancake. My girlfriend doesn't eat gluten, and so we get the mix from Trader Joe's, and it's quite
Bob's
quite good.
Red Mill.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. The caller,
I just wanted an insane segue. I'm sorry to cut you off.
I think maybe, yeah, it's like, just have a little breakfast before you decide if you're upset or not.
Oh, that's a good idea. I also think that there are a lot of slurs that aren't, this is not the same, but, like, if you've ever been called a slur that is for your incorrect ethnicity, it's just weird. You're just like, I'm not that thing.
That's happened to me. Like when I used to work at UCB, like drunk people would come in all the time. But this one drunk guy called me the N-word one time, and I was like, I was the most confused I've ever been. Thank you so much. I was just like, he had a I'll say ethnically diverse group of friends with him, and he was not one of them. I was just like, this is shocking. I didn't know what to do, but I told him that he had to leave.
I kind of think anyone who's not black who gets called the N-word, I do think it's like a little like, wow, that means you're pulling off some kind of swag that people are like, this person's black.
Wearing a flannel shirt, telling him he was too late to come see a midnight show.
Going back a little bit, just to put in a plug for the old day job, the season premiere of Mixed-ish is coming up on January 26th, and there is a strong chance, I think it's even in the promos, but just in case it's not in the promos, the conversation we're having right now is very relevant to the season premiere of Mixed-ish on ABC, January 26th. Watch it on Hulu the next day. I don't know how to promote stuff. I don't know what time it's on.
You did great at promoting it, except for the time, I guess, but otherwise you did pretty good.
It used to be on at 9 p.m. I looked that up for you last year, but I don't know if it stayed in the same time slot.
Probably.
Guess we'll never know.
It's on after or before Mixed-ish. Or before
Wait, the
Black-ish.
Show is Mixed-ish.
I don't. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's on after or before Black-ish, and I don't remember which. I think before.
Another thing for the caller. This is depressing. But if you move to a new country that is not your own, you might want to learn the slurs. I'm so sorry. That's so depressing. But like, just so that you know when someone is being racist and potentially like is dangerous to you. Like you might not know. Same way you learn like gestures and shit that are not good in that country so that you don't offend a cop or something and he thinks you're flipping him off when really you're giving him a backwards peace sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, like learn your slurs, y'all. Ugh.
Well, I mean, I guess that's
unless you're white, you don't get to.
Yeah.
Well, you if you're white, you come born knowing that shit. That's inherent to those. I mean, I guess the darkest version is like even if you don't make an effort to learn the slur, the hate will bring the lesson to you over time.
Mm-hmm.
Like
Andrew.
It might not bother you, but it will start to bother you once enough. Fucking British people
the
call you that.
The hate will
like,
bring the lesson to you?
Are you I mean, Emperor Palpatine?
Y'all, we can't record on Sunday mornings anymore. This shit's depressing.
The hate will bring the lesson to you, young
I'm
Skywalker.
Sorry. I'm just saying... You know, I would wonder. I guess I'm just like, I don't know. I don't think you need to learn the slurs because they get learned upon you quickly. Is that too depressing?
I know what you're saying. Like, every slur I've ever heard that about, like, me, I didn't look it up. Somebody said it to me. You know what I mean?
Like, you get there. Or, I don't know. I mean, what Tawny said is actually correct, but I'm just saying, like it or not, that shit is gonna sink in.
The hate will bring the lesson to you. Yeah. I love it.
You don't want to sit down on a brisk Sunday morning with your cup of coffee and learn a bunch of slurs for your new job in your new country. That's fine. You don't have to do that. I'm more of a like gain all the knowledge so that I can protect myself person. But it also means that I am paranoid and, you know, looking for trouble. So if you want to just let the hate bring the slurs to you, then you're going to have a lot more moments like this young Pakistani woman. You might get called a thing and then later be like, should I be mad about that? And it all sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, yeah. Why am I being so unhelpful? You're right. I don't know what's. I guess I am simply the emperor. Having had my coffee, I can feel the caffeine coursing through me. I can feel the power of. Oh my god! I also
Block
had
him,
McDonald's
young Skywalker.
Coffee.
You had McDonald's coffee?
Yeah, I was in a hurry because I was, needless to say, running late.
You can do worse. You can do worse.
Ungodly hour. Yeah. Sure. Oof. I also drank it too fast. Anyway, this is the end of the show. We did it. What an episode. I mean, I guess this is one of our quieter episodes because we're in a period of relative, like, I guess, I mean, truly, by the time this comes out, who knows what will have happened. So mm-hmm. be careful, be well. I mean, there's a real chance we are, this episode was too jokey for the world it is about to be bored into. Because,
oh, this would be coming out on the 20th, right? Of January. Yeah. Nothing in particular happening this week.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess potentially apologies in advance for this episode.
We also, because we're not recording on our normal day, we are also completely ignoring MLK Day. But, you know.
That's right.
Guys, you don't tune in here for the organization. You tune in for... I don't know what you tune in for. Let us know. You can call us.
Yeah, tell us.
323-389-7223. That's 323-389-RACE. You can also call and tell us about a nice thing that happened to you at that same phone number. And we'll air it on our premium show, Yo, Can We Live? Which is just what it sounds like. It's the Racism Antidote Show. It comes out every Friday. And it is me and Andrew endeavoring to not talk about racism and just celebrate things that mm-hmm. people of color are doing. And you could subscribe to that and a bunch of other fun premium shows at the suboptimalpods.com website. That's suboptimalpods.com. You can find it, the link in my bio. You could find it at the place I just named. We went independent as of December, and we put a bunch of weird shit in there. And we just do whatever we want in there, guys. There's Andrew, you're doing a, you just talked about Mixed Dish. You're going to do a Mixed Dish watch along?
Mm-hmm. It may have already been recorded with special guest, and I guess now of the late great Culture Kings podcast, Edgar Montplaisir.
Oh yes.
Who writes on Blackish? So we had a real ish session, if you know what I'm saying.
An hell ish sesh.
Yeah. Woo. Yeah.
And between the two of you, do you know what times your shows air?
I will say. There's a better chance Edgar does because his show has been airing.
Sure.
So I assume he has heard. Look, it's just watch it on Hulu. It's fine if you watch it on Hulu or whatever. But watch.
Yeah.
But it's in a week. Well, there's other times for this. Inauguration day,
MLK day. A lot is happening this week. Everyone, please stay safe. If you live in one of the places that they are all but certain that there will be activity, hopefully not violence, surrounding the inauguration, please remain extra vigilant.
Yeah, take care of each other. Oh, you know what? I said this on the premium show last week, but one thing I've been doing is, now that I have a little more time, is... I've been trying to help out with this organization here called Solidarity and Snacks. That's their Venmo handle as well. Just like handing out mutual aid, trying to help out our neighbors in Skid Row. But there's lots of organizations in LA. But I just wanted to say that has been helping me a lot, like personally, to take my mind off of things I can't control and try to do something that I can a little bit control. So if you have any spare money, at Solidarity and Snacks on Venmo, or there's a it's on Instagram as well, but that's not how you get it.
And that's cool because you know the folks running that. What's it like to know people doing good things?
Well, so this started out as like a very small thing. It's just my friend, who I'm not sure the whole thing with this organization is that it's like very like, it's not about a person. It's just like, these are a bunch of folks who, Los Angeles in particular has not been providing services, that any rational, society would provide. And thus it is on citizens to do it. So this is just honestly like trying to not like provide the safety net, but provide just any type of help or safety net. You know, the way my friend put it was like, this is, it's like if the city weren't picking up garbage, we would just be the garbage men. Like, we're just sure. doing a thing. This is just like the basic thing that any society should have. But I say both as a thing, like, again, if you have money to donate, that would be great. But also, I encourage people to find a way to do this in their own town, because this is the thing that is going to be the antidote to fascist violence, fascist government, maybe. Like, who knows? It's like connecting with these people. These are the actual people that are going to be doing the actual functions of the actual shit when government fails us for any number of reasons, whether it's active, whether it's passive, whatever. So anyway, I found that really helpful. I said that last week on Premium Show, but feel like it's well maybe said. Worth saying here.
Yeah. That's great. Matt, you got anything you want to promote? Anything you want to, any well wishes for the people?
Just stay hydrated, everybody. I feel like a lot of these people that are like, one of my theories about the people who did decide to storm the Capitol is that they don't drink water. like just drink some water before you make any crazy decisions like what you're about to do. Like, just have some water, and I bet you won't do it. So stay dry, stay hydrated, read a book, and stay chill. That's all I'll say.
That makes a lot of, because if you just writ large look at that group, Krusty is like high on my list.
Yeah,
of that.
Yeah, Krusty and like dry. Yeah, just, yeah, just dry.
Very dry.
Yeah,
just drink some water. I don't know. I always feel better when I drink a little water.
For sure. Yeah. Just like a bunch of golden raisins out there. Matt. Please follow Matt Apodaca for more tidbits like this, but also to see him just wile out and just yell at some racists. It's really, it's a delightful tonal shift, and I want more of you to find
thank
it.
Thank you.
You can follow the pod at Yo Is This Racist. You can follow our premium stuff at Suboptimal Pods just on Instagram. We're too tired to do a Twitter. Twitter's bad. I'm going to leave soon. But I'm at Trondi Newman if you want to delay that eventual exit. Andrew is at Andrew T. And thank you for all of your support. Like we said, we're an independent pod. Even if you don't want a full-blown subscription, there's little ways you can show your support if you go to suboptimalpods.com. That's it.
Yeah, we appreciate it. All right. That's
Thank
it, gang.
You.
Peace.